Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Aaron Layton, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins,
Ghost,
Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
I'm Jimmy.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of The Last of Us on HBO Max, episode 3 this time, titled Long, Long Time. Billstown was right there, but I like this as well. So we just finished watching the episode. If you've never listened to our show before, episode 3 is a weird time to tune in, but we're glad to have you. And we heard big, big things, big praise in advance of this episode. Many critics have said this is one of the best episodes of television that they've seen ever and anything, right? And you're talking Sopranos. You're talking Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. You're talking Benson. Everything amazing you can think of.
Benson, he says.
We're talking Love Boat. We're talking The Glee Project, the reality show spinoff.
Night Court.
Anything you can think of that's amazing, this is up there. So with those high expectations in mind, what we always do, we go around the table. We finished watching 10 minutes ago. It is very late here on the East Coast. And we'll go over our overall thoughts, our initial reactions without spoilers. And then we'll lead into a recap, a play-by-play, scene-by-scene of the episode, ending with a few segments that we do. One is called Bullets and Pills.
Pills, baby!
Where we talk about all the Easter eggs, things that are from the game that we might have pulled or noticed that were left as little details for longtime fans. And then we'll do our favorite Fireflies, our top three favorite moments of the episode, counting down from 3 to 1 each. And finally, cap it off with our outbreak performance. Steve?
Get it? It's like an outbreak, but like a outbreak out performance. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yeah. Words. Clever.
Words, which is our favorite performance of the episode. So we'll give that to one of the actors. And that's the shtick. That's what we do. You can email the show at any time.
Do it.
At streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
And so you should email us because.
Tell them why, Steve.
We are going to do a mid-season mailbag episode where we will read off some emails that you guys send in, like some things that maybe we miss in Bullets and Pills, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys are wondering where the show is going to go, how faithful they're going to be to the video game. Anything you guys want to do, we are going to do a mailbag, and it's all going to be about you, the listener.
Get weird. Mm.
Get weird. Get weird with it. Like kiss people with your tentacle mouths. Do that. Mm-hmm. Get weird.
You can also follow us on Twitter at StreamThingPod. I'm at MoviesAreTherapy. Steve is SteveMay13. You can follow me on Instagram at the same tag as well. You can DM me there about the show. We'll try to include that in the mailbag.
My Instagram is S_May05.
S_May05, baby. No baby. And also we have a Patreon, patreon.com/streamingthings. You can subscribe at a variety of tiers and be privy to bonus episodes, Discord hangouts.
Oh man.
If you're a member of the Discord, talk to us there at any time. So many good people in there. I can't describe to you what it's like to be a member there. You will feel like you have many, many friends. There's some super cool people and a lot, they're a lot smarter and harder working than us that actually run the Discord. So you don't have to worry about that at all. Like I'm very much not involved in that portion. So everything's straight there.
If you become a patron at a certain tier, we just did a bonus episode on Mad Max Fury Road to kind of fit in theme with the post-apocalyptic theme we got going on with Last of Us. So if you want to hear our thoughts, Chris and I's thoughts on Mad Max Fury Road, check it out.
Yeah, that'll be dropping a couple days after you hear this, if you're hearing it on the day of release.
So it happened Tuesday.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
Because that's the last day
of the month. Last day of January. Yeah, we got it in there.
Got it in.
It's the January bonus episode. I think that's all the business news. We are going to be covering Yellow Jackets, if you're a fan of that show.
Big news.
So starting next week, we're going to start with season one of Yellow Jackets. I gave, don't tell Showtime, but I hooked Steve up so he's got access. Just say that. And Steve's never seen it before. It'll be my second watch through, and we'll be watching and recapping each one of those episodes all the way up into season two's debut, which I think is March 24th, which will be right as The Last of Us ends. How's that for serendipity, baby?
It's almost like it was meant to be.
And I'll be watching Succession season four at the same time. I'm a gifted, blessed person.
Very busy boy.
No, not busy. Just blessed.
Blast.
Hashtag blessed. Blast. So that's it. All right, let's do it. What's your overall thoughts on Long, Long Time, directed by Peter Hoare, Steve?
I don't know why you put so much stank on Peter's name.
Peter Hoare. If you put the emphasis on the first one, it's worse. He's old Peter Hoare.
I didn't even catch his first name.
His name's Peter Hoare. What a guy.
He's probably a really nice guy.
Love that dude.
His cousin, Cocksucker.
That's a very good episode to direct.
Sorry. Steve, I'm sorry to ruin everything in advance. What were your overall thoughts on episode 3?
Throw that to me again.
Steven, what are your overall thoughts on episode 3?
Well, like you said, in the lead up to this episode, there's a lot of hullabaloo. I can't say that word.
Hullabaloo.
Hubba-bubba-bubba.
You keep wanting to say hubba-bubba because you're looking at me.
You're not wrong. But no, there was a lot of word on the town about how this is one of the best episodes of TV ever. So this, I had a high expectation for this episode, you know? And, you know, watching this episode, it was amazing. This is my favorite episode so far in the season. I don't know if it's the best episode of TV I've ever seen, but it's like really, really good, like a solid 9 out of 10, mm-hmm. right? And I think one of the reasons why I loved it so much is like as someone who's played the video games and I'm currently playing the game along with the show, I'm trying to keep up with the show, with the game. This is the biggest departure from the video game we've seen yet in terms of how the show is kind of going. We'll get into exactly why and what's different, but I love the fact that not only was it different, but it was better than what they do in the game, I think. In a different way, this is a perfect example of what I think in screenwriting they call killing your darlings, where you might have a really, really great idea, but hey, here's this other idea that serves your story better, so you have to get rid of your original idea, even though you loved it and you thought it was great. Because what they do in the game is really funny, and it's really good, and it's really impactful on its own. But what they do in the show here with this episode, I think is far more effective. It's way better, and it gives certain characters much more depth and heart. And I think that was my takeaway with this episode overall. So I loved it. I'm really excited to see where they go next episode. And I can't really get much more into it without spoiling what we're going to go over in the recap. So yeah, that's my thoughts. Amazing.
Awesome. Jimmy.
I absolutely agree with Steve. Came into it with a lot of expectations very high based on what people were talking about. I had kind of mixed emotions after the episode, obviously without spoiling so much, but I do understand why they went in certain directions. I'm very happy that they did flesh out a lot of the lot of the characters that they don't do in a game that you don't know very much about, especially backstories and stuff. So I really enjoyed that. I just think that I was really expecting chaos in this episode, and I didn't see that. But I did thoroughly enjoy the show, and I am very excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, this is a pretty quiet episode compared to everything else. There's no clicker, you know, hunt. There's no zombies really fighting them in any significant way. Most of the action that you do see is like mostly off screen. You don't really tell what's going on.
Yeah, they just like dip their toe in a little bit of action. And
it's all character. Yeah. It's all character development.
Yeah, which I appreciate because it's like, you know, this is if you don't care about people, like the apocalypse has no effect. You know, the threat isn't real until you really identify with the humanity of your characters, right? But I understand what Jimmy's saying. Like, you know, this section of the game is one of the most beloved sections of the game, and this is drastically different than how it's done in the game. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of interactions between like Bill and Ellie and a lot of one-liners that Bill has as a character that are iconic from the game that I was really looking forward to seeing from Nick Offerman specifically. Like, oh, that's such a perfect casting. And it is a perfect casting.
Very much so.
But they did it so much differently than I expected. And it was disappointing in one sense. However, that was an amazing episode of television. You know, everybody knows I'm a crybaby, but I cried twice. And I think that
Steve... Can we guess when you cry when we go through the recap?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was watching.
Two places.
Tears, baby!
Tears! And, you know, there's... like you said, there's some necessary changes that have to be made in adaptations. I think you were talking about Murder Your Darlings, which is a Stephen King quote that all writers have adopted. It's in his book on writing that I loved as a young man. But like it's in the first episode, for instance, they made a massive change with how the character of Robert is killed. We talked about that. And I think I've thought about it a lot since then. In the game... Because in the game, you actually, as we said, fight all of his henchmen and then end up killing Robert yourself, or Tess does. But in the game, that whole sequence serves as a tutorial for the combat in the game, essentially. Right. Yeah. And since in the show, they're like, we don't fucking need that. You're not playing. But it serves the story better if he's just dead. That's the plot beat we need to get to, right? And though I do still think it served Tess's character to have her do it, I understand that kind of change. And this change... almost none of this is in the show at all. Like it's hinted at in
none of it's in the game. You mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. And almost none of it's in the game at all. And if you've never played the game, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is hinted at through notes and letters that Joel and Ellie find while you're playing. And you can kind of read about backstory of all these ancillary characters. And I think that's where they're pulling a lot of this deep cut stuff that we're going to get through the rest of the season. But basically, you know, none of this is in there, even in the letters at all. It's just inferred. So that's really neat. And I think it does serve Bill's character better. I agree with you, Steve. Like, you know, it took me a few seconds of reflection to be like, I get it, you know? So anyway, we all love the episode. I don't know if it's it's in its own thing, man. It really is.
It's almost a little bottle episode.
It's in its own league, and it's a great story. Yeah.
I imagine Neil Druckerman like finally getting to flesh out some of those characters that you just really couldn't do in the game. That's what he just went ham with this episode.
Yeah.
Him and Craig Mazin are just spitballing back and forth.
I've been thinking about Bill for 10 years, man. Check this out. Well, let's dive right in so we can dig into spoilers for the episode and really talk about our true feelings. So the episode starts, and right away, we were all intrigued. Jimmy pointed it out, actually. Mm. There's no cold open. There's no flashback. And we thought that might be a pattern. And do you think we were actually wrong about that? Or do you think that they forewent?
Because this whole episode is a flashback. So why have the flashback at the beginning of the episode? Maybe.
Not only that, but it's like a succession of 3 to 4 flashbacks. Mm-hmm. So they were like, holy shit, we better not. Yeah. They're going to flashback to a different show. I don't, just a thought. They might still have them in episode. I do expect the cold open flashbacks to continue from here on out.
Yeah, I definitely do too.
I'm stubborn that way.
Yeah.
Cool. We're all in agreement. But we open on Joel's fist, the bloody knuckles, I think from when he punched Lee, the Fedra soldier, right?
Yeah, and Lee
beat him to death.
When Ellie was like, this is awesome. Keep punching. and he's stacking rocks, which is not typically allowed in most national parks. However,
but hey, the world's a national park now.
It is an apocalypse. I get it. Mm-hmm. And this is a really cool moment because this, you know, he's making a grave for Tess.
Mm-hmm. Was that what he was doing?
That's what I think he was doing.
That's what I thought. Yeah, he was making not a grave so much as just like a memorial. Like yeah. That was his way of grieving, was making some sort of marker for her.
I thought he was just tracking his route.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it could be
breadcrumbs.
I like to think he's, because he didn't really mourn Tess. And I know a lot of people online were kind of like, show Joel. Is kind of an asshole. Like he took it a lot easier than Game Joel, and I don't like that.
I don't agree with that. We just didn't.
I don't either.
The episode didn't leave time for us to see him mourn Tess last episode. Like, so this
he's all about survival. I got to get this kid out of here. That was her one request. I'll cry later. Yeah. This is him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they're 10 miles outside of Boston. We get a marker that says that Ellie has Joel's jacket as she's using it as a blanket. She offers it back. He throws her chicken sandwich. Thank God we got that
bite out of it.
He did. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what chicken.
I thought it was still tastes like chicken jerky. I thought that the chicken sandwich was gone and he like ate the jerky and then he threw some to her. Like here, you can have some.
That's true. It was out of his pack, not hers.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I thought it was the chicken sandwich is because, well, the wrapping and also the chicken sandwich was in the previously on.
Oh yeah,
you know how they always
chicken.
Yeah, so it's like, hey guys, remember she had a chicken sandwich, right?
This sandwich, Adam.
This is going to be important. This sandwich.
This is so important. And we get a cool moment where Ellie's like, "I've never been in the woods," which is hilarious to think of, but it's pretty sad and you know it's cute that you're like, hey, trees are cool. A lot more bugs than I thought there'd be, though. You know, like that. That's how different her upbringing, her life has been. She's never even been in the woods before. Like if she said, "Do you want some ice cream?" and the person said, "Does a bear shit in the woods?" she'd be like, "I don't know.
I don't know.
Do you want some fucking ice cream or not?
What's a bear?
Is the Pope's hat funny? Who's that? What's a hat?"
she knows what a hat is.
I don't know. Fedra school is terrible, man.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
It's worse than Kentucky public school. I didn't think that was possible. And she says, "Hey, about Tess." And he says, "Hey, I don't want your apology." And I love this scene because she's like, "Cool. I wasn't going to say sorry. I was going to say that you chose to do this because you wanted your truck battery or whatever. And it's not my fault at all. So don't be mad at me. Don't blame me."
Yeah.
And
it straight punks him out.
Yeah.
Stands there like.
Hmm. He's looking at her with a modicum of respect, I feel like.
Yeah.
In that moment, which I thought was cool.
He's like, this kid's pretty cool.
She's spunky.
Hey, you want to take a 5-hour hike? Yeah.
And he says that we're 5 hours from Billstown. Who has hiked 5 hours before?
I got to say, when he's like, it's going to be a 5-hour hike and she's like, we can do that. My first thought was like, not me.
Yeah, I'm done. Just kill me.
5 hours. 5 hours in a car sounds awful. Let alone walking.
I've done a 10 mile hike in the army, but that was.
It took you 5 hours.
It was about 4, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
It takes that long.
It was terrible.
Well, you probably had all your equipment. And stuff
oh yeah.
On too.
About 100 pounds. Yeah.
Full
yeah.
kit.
Full.
You were carrying
rattle.
Ellie.
Yeah.
That shit was FUBAR.
Yeah. Definitely was.
That is a callback. So yeah, she's down to hike though. And
she's never been in the woods.
We cut to a little bit of a conversation on the journey there while they're talking. She's asking about Frank and Bill, and she says, are they nice? And he said, Frank is.
Frank's nice.
Because Bill's kind of an asshole and he knows it. He doesn't care. And he says, you know, he's looking out. He looks a little worried. She says, hey, are there clickers infected about? And he said, nope. You know, he's looking for people. He's worried about hunters, raiders, those kinds of folks.
Starts asking about his scar.
You want to know how I got these scars? Which is weird of him to say that.
Especially like that.
Yeah. My father was a drunk.
Oh, man.
He didn't say that. Apparently it's from a gunshot where somebody missed. And then she asked if he killed the guy that shot at him. And he said, no, I missed too. And she's like, are you just terrible at shooting or
you just suck in general? And he's like, in general.
She asks for a gun again.
I kind of was... I didn't know if he was referring to the fact that it was when he got that scar when Sarah was shot, because that guy like takes a, like sprays the bullets at him in the beginning, or if he got
hit in like the rib when he could
have, but he could have been grazed again. It was an automatic fire from like 6 feet. We were all amazed.
The
guy missed.
I'm assuming it's from a different situation because he didn't really react emotionally to that. I feel like he would have reacted more emotional if it was for when he was,
yeah, I took it like Sarah died, but question mark scenario in between, but it could be. And then, you know, she asks for a gun again. He says no again. And then they go through an old store, which is very reminiscent of the game. They start looking around for stuff. She leaves him to it, goes off on her own. She says,
"Hey,
is there anything scary back here?" And he says, "Just you, or anything bad back here?" Which was a reference to the first time they met.
Yeah, I was going to say that happened in the first episode.
He's using that joke again. She didn't like it anymore this time.
Total dad.
And she,
total dad, he tells her making bad jokes and just hitting them into the ground. Beat that dead horse, daddy.
And she goes trying to loot, right? And he says, there's nothing else in here. This has been picked clean, you know, decades ago. And she says, whatever, I'll find some stuff, right? She finds a hatch, very excited about it. And she doesn't tell Joel, even though that's dangerous, just because she wants to like find something really cool and be like, ha, fuck this guy, right? So she drops down into the hatch. I was really upset at how long it took her to use her flashlight. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I would have opened that thing like the moment I opened it.
Press R3, Ellie, R3.
R3.
She says,
she like drops a rock and then turns her flashlight on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flashlight would have been first. You know how you can tell if it's really deep?
I'm not wasting that rock.
Yeah. She's like listening and stuff. Yep, you have a light. She hops down in there.
What's down there?
Tampax Pearl.
Secret tunnel. Secret tunnel. That's a joke for about four people.
And Tampax Pearl.
And Tampax Pearl.
By the way, the pearl ones.
It's a heavy flow.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not that. It's just the pearl. It's like, I don't know. Let's not get into it.
But there's an infected trapped under there.
There is an infected under a bunch of debris. He looks like a sad zombie.
It was a clicker, right? Because he started making that noise.
He had a little bit of human features, though. He had one eyeball, at least.
Yeah, he was probably like in between. He's in between.
He was halfway from runner to... the one between runner and
stalker.
Clicker? Stalker. He was halfway to stalker.
Maybe you can tell they're stalkers because he has the stalks actually coming out of his forehead.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's what he was doing and he got crushed.
Yeah.
Stalking around.
He was waiting to jump on somebody and then it fell in.
He's like, dang.
Damn it.
I shouldn't have been so sneaky.
Why was I down here?
Dang. I was too sneaky for them.
I'm so good at hide and seek.
I'm gonna get you.
But Ellie like kind of pulls out her switchblade.
Yeah,
she starts like kind of.
It's kind of a
cutting
weird
into him. She's kind of fascinated. I guess it's that weird thing. Like if you're young and you see something fucked up, you kind of don't know how to respond to it. So you do kind of, you poke at it, you prod at it, you kind of stare almost menacingly at it. It was an odd scene, but I like get it. I understand. Like I think. You know, I remember doing not this, but being in situations when I was a kid, and I would see like a dead animal in the forest. And you just kind of stare at it and you poke it with a stick.
You do. However, I think this scene, the way that she is paired with her reaction to Joel killing the Fedra agent, coupled together makes Ellie a little off, right? In a way that I think will come back. Like now the watching the Fedra agent wasn't just the violence that intrigued her, though. I do think there was an element of that, but she was so happy that Joel was defending her, right? Like she'd never had anyone put themselves out there for her like that.
Right.
And so there was an emotional reaction to it, but also a little bit of being intrigued by the violence of it, I think. So this gave me like Sid from Toy Story vibes, not totally, but it like she might blow up Buzz Lightyear with just to see what happens with a firecracker or pull the wings off a butterfly. You know,
so if she puts a black shirt on with a skull on it, we know, yeah. We know trouble's a brewing.
Yeah, we do.
I think you can put that shirt on in the game.
The Sid shirt?
Yeah,
really?
The Sid shirt. Yeah, there's a black. I don't know if it's exactly like it, but it's definitely a black shirt with a skull on it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could change clothes in the game. I've seen people with some different cool stuff on, but
yeah.
In the remaster,
New Game Plus.
And I must be ass at the game. I didn't find a single.
No, I think it's after you beat the game.
Yeah, you don't find anything.
Second playthrough, you unlock those things.
Dang, second playthrough. But she does experiment with the creature, kind of cuts its forehead real slowly just to see what's inside, how it's going to react. And then she stabs it. It's her first kill, right? It's her first infected kill. Joel gets worried, shouts for her, and finally she shows up with the tampons, like, ha, found some cool stuff. Doesn't tell him about it at all.
Picked clean my ass.
Yeah. And Joel leaves the AR under some floorboards. He says there's not enough ammo for it or something, so anyway.
It's useless.
Mostly useless because it's hard to come by ammo for that thing in the real world.
Pretty sure you can beat something with that. Like a bat.
Now, hold up. Let me just say this. I know that this,
hold up,
the AR is going to be in another section, so I won't speak too much on that. But I do think it's a slight flaw. You don't think Joel, crafty scavenger that he is,
he held onto that baggie in the first episode. Like, let me get that baggie.
Exactly. He's going to keep the AR. Plus, he's literally on his way. He's halfway there to Bill's town,
right?
Who has a armory, right? Like, you can find some bullets. It's the one place you can definitely find bullets for that gun, and it's Bill's house, right?
Bill's bullet dungeon.
I get it. It's fine, though. So we
probably didn't know. He probably isn't expecting Bill to give stuff up.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't know Bill's doing what Bill's doing.
Right.
To have all his stuff for him.
And Bill's pretty stingy.
Yes.
We find
out. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Like, Bill's not coming off the bullets without a tray. What do you got? Crayons? I don't want the girl.
Leave this gun here.
Another mouth to feed. So we cut back to them walking on the road. We see a plane crash in the background. Ellie's like, holy shit, did that thing fly? You know, again,
have you been in one of those?
She's never experienced this. Yeah. And she's like, but that's amazing. You got to be up in the sky. And Joel's a pessimist. So he's like, yeah, well, they were in the sky. How'd that work out? You know?
Well, it's kind of funny to see his point of view compared to hers, because he's like, well, it didn't seem great at the time. I was stuck in the middle seat. $12 for a sandwich.
True.
Like,
true.
We all have been on a plane and like when you
and been like, this
when
sucks.
You're in it, when you're in the zone of flying in a plane, it's always like, this kind of sucks. But when you step back and look at it objectively, you're like, actually,
yeah, like are they charging for the
cool?
Yeah, are they like, charging definitely. For the fucking Wi-Fi right now? This is ridiculous.
I mean, like, from someone who's never flown before and that's like not an option for her, like, it is kind of incredible. Like, no, dude, you got to fucking be in the sky. That's incredible. How cool is that? You're so lucky. But so it is kind of a really cool, you know, point of view, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like the end of that movie, Don't Look Up, which everybody loved, where he says, we really did have everything, didn't we? Right. Including planes, damn it. And then we, you know, Joel tells her the story of how things happen, at least from his point of view, what they think happened, how the virus started from flour, likely, and how quickly everything went to shit. You know, he mentions pancake mix specifically. Yeah. And I thought that was an allusion to the first episode.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It is. Cause he sort of pauses a bit. It's the last thing he says. He's like, you know, cereal, wheat, pancakes, like
oatmeal cookies. Old bitch is eating biscuits.
She didn't even want them. Old man was just shoving them in her mouth.
You're going to be a zombie.
Eat those biscuits.
Yeah, I think so. Sarah a little bit there probably in that moment.
Started on Friday. By Monday, everything was gone.
And I didn't think about it that way. Like, the first time I saw that flashback episode in Jakarta, I thought to myself, hey, they probably should have bombed the city. She was right. But it's like, no, that food was shipped out. They're already fucked. Yeah. Like, everybody was eating that flour globally. So that sucks, but yeah. And she thought, she was taught in Fedra school that it was started probably by a monkey.
she says that's a lot better than a monkey.
Yeah. Makes way more sense. By the way, correction from that episode where we covered, the Indonesian opening, multiple people have emailed and DM'd me on Instagram. Her name was Ratna, Professor Ratna. I should probably pull up the email if I'm going to correct myself. I don't remember now, but Ibu is like a title of address. Like, an Ibu is like a
doctor,
respected woman, or no, it's like a, you know, it's not her name. It's just, it's an Indonesian word, just to make that clear to
title.
All of our other American listeners that might not have known that. Anyhoozle. So, she learns the origins of everything, and she's actually grateful to him. Like, that's their first kind of like normal moment where they're not arguing or poking at each other for a good while. But Joel wants to get off the road, so she doesn't see what's up ahead, and she's stubborn. Like, no, I want to see it. I like stuff. I mean, I'm kind of a serial killer. It's escalating pretty quickly. I killed a guy back there.
Yeah. I didn't tell you. This is a dead guy.
I think he was infected. He had a mushroom.
I sliced him up real nice.
I'm actually not sure though.
It could have just been weird.
And then up ahead, it's a mass grave. Just dozens and dozens of dead skulls and bones, other accoutrement of dead bodies.
Yeah, Joel says that they would evacuate small towns, but if they didn't have enough room for them in the QZ, they would kill them all, even if they weren't sick, because dead people cannot get infected.
Yeah, so these are the non-infected people killed by soldiers in a mass grave there. And it's a really cool transition because it zooms in on a couple pieces of fabric and then opens to a flashback of, you know, outbreak day 20 years previously of the people wearing those clothes, including a little baby,
yeah,
which is terrible.
Yeah, that's awful. And they're getting loaded onto the trucks by what would become Fedra, but I assume in this moment they're the U.S. military.
Just America, yeah. So it's a baby and the baby's mother. And then it cuts to Bill in his survivalist bunker looking at cameras. You New World Order jackboot fucks. Not today, Satan. So he's anti-government. He's
that
a doomsday prepper.
Perfectly, without saying anything up until the jackboot fucks thing, without saying anything, that perfectly does encapsulate who Bill is. Because he's sitting there with his monitors. He's paranoid. He's got like cameras all over his house. And he's just listening to them walk around. And you can just tell like he's been waiting for this to happen his whole life.
He's a little excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he made an armoire into a secret door. Yeah. Okay.
And that's cool that like we get this because in the game, we don't know how did Bill get Bill's town? Why? But I like that they show this like that was where he lived his whole life. And he was just hiding when the soldiers rounded everybody up. So now he gets to have it to himself.
Yeah. They don't even allude in the game to the fact that he's a prepper either. So it's just
part of his personality.
He's just a guy that's really prepared.
But I can imagine like a doomsday prepper watching this episode, like goddamn right.
Hell yeah. He's like, oh, an armoire.
I feel like this episode is going to send a lot of people's heads spinning.
Oh yeah. They're like, I need to invest more time, honey, into this.
Well, I think a lot of people who are like that are going to get to a certain point in this episode and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sure.
I feel like I've been sold a false bill of goods.
False bill.
Did it.
Nice, Steve. Nice. Anyhoozle, jackboot fucks move on. Bill's still there and hiding, and he looks pretty satisfied with himself. He's pretty happy to have the town to himself.
Yeah.
And we get a montage of him turning it into Bill's town.
Do you remember that show when you were a kid when they were like, all right, here's a grocery cart. You've got 10 minutes. Oh, yeah. You got 10 minutes. Go through Toys R Us and grab whatever the hell you want.
This motherfucker brought a boat.
This is Bill's episode of that show where he's like, I'm going to get a boat. Yeah. I'm getting all the gas I can.
Going to the power plant, turn the gas back on.
Turn the gas back off? Fuck you. I'll turn it back on.
Where'd he go to Costco?
Home Depot.
He should have went to Costco.
Oh, yeah.
That's a one stop. Yeah. That's all you're done. I don't have to go anywhere else.
He wasn't a member.
Welcome to Costco. Love you.
Love you.
We got married at Costco.
Got my law degree there.
That's right. So after the montage, he's sitting there cooking steak and veggies that he grew himself. He sees while he's eating, he watches an infected on camera get hit by one of his traps.
He says doesn't get old.
And there's a bunch of good needle drops in this sequence because during the montage, we get some Fleetwood Mac and then we get some Cream. Mm. Love those songs, by the way. Good times.
Yeah. Fleetwood Mac, Cream. We also get to see, of course, I can't remember her name, but we'll get to it.
Cyndi Lauper.
No, the
Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah. Linda Ronstadt. Yeah. I had it written down, but I couldn't find it.
Cyndi Lauper was an inside joke, folks. 4 years later, we get another, cut, really a long time cut to the later in the flashback.
Oh, man, 2007 was a good year.
16
throw that out there.
16 years before the current timeline of the normal part of the show. There's a warning that one of his traps was set off. He runs out there and it's somebody who's not infected in the trap hole. And by the way, we saw in the montage him making this particular hole and packing it with mud and stuff. We know they're not infected because the guy in the hole says, I'm not infected, which is a pretty good clue.
Yeah, for sure.
I put two and two together.
It's like, oh, all right.
And this first interaction between Bill and Frank is amazing. You know, he said, are you armed? And the most Ron Swanson-y way of all time. And the guy in the hole, Frank, says, no.
Why'd you pause so long?
Yeah. Why'd you pause before you answer? Just for, you know, blatant.
I thought about lying.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a reason to lie and then I couldn't think of one. So, which is true. It's like, do I want him to think? I could see that being me because I'm a highly anxious person, overthinking things. Ooh, do I want him to think I'm armed? What the fuck is that going to do? He's going to know I'm not armed.
He's
in a second.
Shoot me.
No. Which I saw myself and Frank in that moment, and I appreciated it. Frank is from the Baltimore quarantine zone on his way to the Boston quarantine zone, which is where Joel and Tess are from, and Ellie. And then he it was a party of 10 people. 9 of them are dead now. He's by himself. So Bill gives him a ladder, seems to kind of believe him, gives him an infected test. And Frank's like, how did you get that tester? And Bill does not answer. So he's probably killed a Fedra guard, I would imagine, right?
Or he just stole one.
He's crafty.
Just found it on the ground.
Yeah.
Outside of Home Depot.
Bill sneaky like me?
Aisle 12, Home Depot.
He made him under these rocks. And then he says, I haven't eaten in 2 days. He tells him, Boston's that way. 2 days away, you're good. Something like shit like that. Frank says, I haven't eaten in 2 days. And Bill's like, well, okay.
I love that Frank's like, that doesn't sound like a long time now that I say it out loud, but it feels like a long time.
I'm super hungry. And then Bill says, well, this isn't an Arby's. You can't just have a free lunch.
Arby's didn't give you free lunches. It was a restaurant. Like, such pay. A great comeback.
And he's the perfect yen to Bill's yang, right? Mm-hmm. Or yang to yen. I'm not really sure.
It's like,
about
I won't
how
tell any homeless or vagabond or anybody about this place.
You know, I'm a bad liar. I'm telling the truth. So he lets him come in, lets him get a shower. And he has an amazing time getting a shower. And you can kind of see the beginnings of that. Like, Bill's kind of uncomfortable. He hasn't been around another person in years, for instance, but also it's a man that I get a feeling he's pretty attracted to. I don't know where I got that idea.
We see Frank shirtless in a few scenes.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
dude.
Holy is shit. Jacked. Frank is a snack.
What is my note? Why is Frank so sexy?
That is a good looking man.
I didn't notice till he took a shower and took his shirt off, but I guess that's what you'd expect.
I mean, honestly, Bill, I get it.
He didn't. It all started with Frank's hole.
I guess it would have been Bill's hole that Frank was in.
That's true. He dug it. So Bill brings him some food. He's waiting at the table. He does a little bit of exploring, looks at the dust, right? So there's a little bit of an indication like Frank's going to need to clean this place up is what he's thinking.
Frank needs a partner.
And I zoned out and went on a tangent in my head where I started to think, would I dust in the probably not. No. But also like he's got a pretty good like normal suburban setup there. He should probably dust. You know,
I think he's more concerned about, building bombs and
it takes forever to make those fences. Flamethrower pipes take forever. No time to dust.
A lot of welding going on. Mm-hmm.
But Frank is so amazed. You know, he had a great time in the shower and now he's got like not only this like apocalypse food, you would think you'd throw him some hardtack and some a loaf of bread or something. But he brings him this like
ramen would be a good day.
Yeah. But he brings him like a 5-star cooked meal. I think
seriously.
It's rabbit. What's the fancy word for rabbit when you're ordered at a restaurant?
I don't know.
There's a dish for it. I think I've never had it. Clearly.
I thought it was
Hassan Pfeffer.
Yeah. There's a. Yeah, sure. Steve.
That is a real thing.
Is it really?
Yes.
Hassan Pfeffer. What does it pair
German,
with?
I think that's German for rabbit.
Did you catch what it pairs with?
I wrote it down, but it was like
I've been sober for 11 years. And before that, I drank straight from the bottle. I didn't pair with any rabbit.
Yeah.
But it was something that it really impresses Frank.
So, and just imagine being Frank where it is the apocalypse and like all these small comforts are just not a thing anymore. Like a hot shower, a shower at all.
He's years in, he's just looking around this house. Like it still looks like a normal fucking house.
This is beautiful. Yeah. This is a beautiful street. And you cook me this meal and Bill's like, everything tastes good when you're starving. He's like, not like this.
Yeah.
Buddy.
This is fire. I better give up some ass to stay here. Easy decision.
But he's not a whore.
Yeah. But Frank's so amazed, you know, Bill even knows what to pair rabbit with, right? And he's like, I know I don't look like the type of guy. But Frank sees Bill for who he really is. He doesn't see this like psycho doomsday prepper guy or all this crazy nonsense. He's like, no, you seem like the kind of guy who would know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's a tender moment that Bill notices. And then Frank wants to play the piano. It's a, 1948 classic piano. It was Bill's mother's.
Do you know how much these things are worth?
Not much now.
Such a good
Nothing.
Such
nothing.
A good line. And he goes through, he sees, you know, Beethoven's Für Elise, you know, some other classical symphonies. And he's like, oh, these are garbage. These aren't yours. And like, he acts like he knows who Bill is already. And those are my mother's. And but then he finds Linda Ronstadt and says, this is you. And it, clearly it is, right? He plays and sings. He plays okay. Sings terribly. He's not very good, right? And Bill gets a little of, he's like, stop, you know.
Not this song.
Yeah.
I'm no expert, but, ooh. And then at that point, Frank's like, oh, you can play. I want to hear you play, and then I'll leave. So Bill proceeds to sing Love Will Abide. Or it's called, is that what it's called?
Love? Long, long time.
Is that the name of the song? That makes sense. It's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's blowing my mind. But Love Will Abide is a lyric that I thought was pertinent. And he doesn't, but notice he doesn't need the sheet music. So it that's implies Bill. That he plays that many, many times.
This is Bill's town. This is Bill's song.
Bill's piano.
That's his mother's. And then there's a lyric that says, I think I'm going to love you for a long, long time. Hence the title there too. So, and then Frank says, who's the girl? And Bill says, no girl. And Frank's like, I know you're gay. And then they kiss. And Frank goes that's in for cute. It. He goes for it. This scene is,
go take a shower, Bill.
It was a lot. I mean, but you can just see like there's a slight resistance to Bill because he's never done this before and he's never trusted anybody ever. Certainly not in years. He hasn't seen a human in years, right? That he hasn't killed or set on fire. And so, but he's breaking down so quickly. He's shocked at the celerity with which his walls are coming down. It was so marvelously acted. I was amazed. But also, I just want to say, juxtaposed with the other kiss, the most recently we've seen in this show, which was an infected shoveling its tentacles into Tess's mouth, which I do think was intentional to look like a kiss, because I watched somebody's breakdown of it, and we didn't talk about it this way, but they were saying that Joel, his relationship with Tess, what he owed her was emotion like that. Like he should have kissed her like goodbye. You know what I mean? And because he doesn't, he's like, all right, see ya. That's why the showrunners decided to depict that way. It's an interesting thought. Steve hates this.
That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
Is it asinine?
Asinine.
Yeah, that's just them wanting to make a more creepy thing. They're not. No, I disagree with that so wholeheartedly.
What's them? You mean the showrunners just wanted to make it more creepy?
Yeah.
So they phrased it like that.
Yeah. I don't think they're like, oh, it should have been Joel giving her a kiss. Like, yeah, no shit. But like, I don't think that's what they were going for with that.
And I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Unless we see a third kiss that's framed in a very specific way, I don't believe it.
Why do you got to see a third kiss?
Because stories work in threes, Chris.
Murder your darling, Steve. They killed the third kiss. I just think it was interesting. And it is pretty close together kisses.
That's an interesting idea.
So I noticed.
Go take a shower, Bill.
Bill, yeah. So before the kiss, if you watch Nick Offerman as Bill, he's super tense, right? All the way, like from the moment he brings Frank into his house, he's serving him food. He's like walking around like he's got a stick up his ass, right?
Yeah.
And then as soon as they kiss, like it just drops. Mm-hmm.
But I love that moment too because of what you said, how you can kind of see Bill sort of melt and be like, you know, his exterior, his facade is melting away. But then when Frank's like, hey man, go take a shower. He probably hasn't showered in forever.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're about to be intimate. You gotta be clean and not smell awful. And like, as somebody, if I was being intimate with somebody and they're like, hey man, go take a shower, I would walk away the exact same way that Bill did in that moment. Just sad and defeated, like, okay. I felt so much for Bill in that moment.
Well, it's more than just that, too. Like, you have to prep, you know, for certain types of things you can do in the bedroom. There's prep that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And Frank's like, look, man,
stretching.
Lunch wasn't that good. He might pull a hammy. But he comes out of the bed like we talked about. Frank sitting in the bed naked and he's jacked. Mm. Frank is so sexy. When did that happen?
Glistening, chest hair.
He's not even bloated from that rabbit like I would be because he pats his belly. he knew. He's like, I'm going to go play a little piano, shake my cheeks a little bit. A little bait. Oh, Linda Ronstadt. Bill comes out in a towel. Frank leads everything because Bill's so nervous. He's never done this before. He takes his towel off for him. He gets into bed. And we found out Bill's never been with a man before. He's been with a woman once, I think. So he's never.
But it wasn't great.
So while he was alive, yeah, because he's gay. Yeah. While he was alive, he never came out, I guess, right? Yeah. So this is huge for him. And it takes it from Bill's town to Pound Town. I'm sorry. I've been holding that in.
You definitely know that Bill is packing by the way that Frank looked. Yeah,
Frank looked concerned.
He dropped that towel. He was like, oh, no. And he just steps back or lays back in the bed like, this isn't going to be.
But it's an interesting, like, I really love the way that Frank kind of coaxes all this information out, because you can really tell that, like you said, Chris, like, Bill probably hasn't been open about who he is to anyone in his entire life. And now, because even later in the show, he has a line like, I always hated everybody. I hated everybody in the world. And it's probably because he wasn't allowed to be himself. And so he prepped for the worst.
Absolutely.
And was closed off to everyone else. And I love the line where Frank's like, I don't have sex for lunches. I'm not a whore. So if we're going to do this, I'm going to stay here for a few days. And part of me was like, wait a minute, you just renegotiated your price.
That's all that was. I respect it. I respect it. And then it cuts to 3 years later, which now we're 13 years before the current timeline. There's a fight between Bill and Frank. They storm outside. And it amounts to Frank wanting to decorate. Like, he wants to revitalize the exterior of the house.
Mow the grass. Everything look pretty. Revitalize the boutique and some of the other stores.
No, well, that doesn't even come up yet. Like, after he wins painting the house and cutting the grass, he's like, by the way, I'm fixing the stores too.
That's you're right.
And then it comes down to Bill wanting to do, what is it called? Resource management, right? Like, we're not wasting paint on the house. Who cares what it looks like? It's an apocalypse. You
say resource management. I'm going to walk into one of these trip wires.
Yeah. And then there was a really hilarious line. Like, you're one of those guys. You think the government's Nazis. They are Nazis. Yeah, but not back then.
Yeah, you know? He said, now, not back then.
That's debatable too. What were you going to say, Steve?
I was going to say that same thing. I love the government are Nazis.
Yeah. It's in the casting, like the Nick Offerman way of saying that. So perfect. Love it so much. So he ultimately wins.
Yeah. Frank says, let him love the street the way he wants to.
Yep.
Which is poignant.
And he says, and we got to get things nice, 'cause we're going to have friends over. And Bill's like, where are we going to get friends? It's literally just you and me. And he's like, we'll meet people. I've been talking to a nice woman on the radio. When Bill's like, what? Like, that's definitely against the rules in his world, in his book. But it cuts to the friends for dinner, and it's Tess and Joel.
Fun was that? I wasn't expecting this at all.
I was hoping we'd get some more Tess this way. I did expect to see early Joel and Bill interactions, but of course Tess would be there. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Joel's looking real young too.
Yeah, nice. They did a great job. Yeah. Because they up-aged them, if that's a word, for their previous iterations of their roles. So now they just act like their normal selves, and it works great. Frank's too friendly. He's like, come on, everybody, you know, but Bill's sitting there with a loaded pistol.
It's cocked too.
Yeah. While he's eating.
I thought for sure we were going to see Joel, like, when they were by themselves, Joel was going to pull a gun out from under. Like, he's had a gun on him the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, instead Joel's just like, I get it. I'm not offended at all. Yeah.
Just gonna eat this rabbit.
Frank takes Tess in the house, and then Joel has a heart to heart with Bill.
A prepper or something?
Yeah.
Survivalist.
Survivalist. And, you know, there's a moment that I want to point out that's really cool. Joel doesn't know what to call Tess because he says, hey, if my, and then he pauses for a long moment because he was going to say girlfriend, or and he wanted to say partner. And then he was like, if Tess just brought some strangers over without asking, I'd be pretty upset too. I'd be pretty nervous. So I understand that, right? So he knows that Frank's is his partner, but he doesn't know what to call Tess. So he's still, and like, this is 13 years before we've seen them. So 13 years later, he still never got over that hump of, you know, what to call Tess and how to define their relationship. I just thought that was interesting. But he's pretty straightforward with Bill. He's like, you know, I don't need your help, Joel. I don't need, you know, fuck off. And he's like, yeah, we have books, medicine, machine parts. Your fence over there is
trash.
Your tops.
He said that fence is garbage.
Yeah. People are going to come right through there, take all your rabbits. What about the rabbits, George? And he's got 10 spools of high tensile aluminum. Keep your fence good for the rest of your lives.
Lives.
Ooh, yeah, he hits him with the plural live.
You got to protect Frank. That's what all this is about. Mm-hmm. And that's the crux of this entire episode. Is that what that's what gets through him, right? And we see a little bit of the codes too.
Yeah, we find out that Frank was the one that invented the code of using music to dictate how well how, what the situation is in Bill's
time. Yeah, the '80s, the '70s, the little code that Ellie cracked in mm-hmm. a previous episode. And I thought that was really neat that that came back. I didn't expect that, mm-hmm. But also it's brought back again in this episode. So really good writing. But he says eventually, hey, it's not always going to be a couple infected here and there. Eventually, there's going to be raiders. You're going to need people like us to help you out with that kind of stuff, right?
We'll be fine.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. we cut to 3 years later, 10 years before the current timeline. It's Frank and Bill jogging. Frank's a lot more fit than Bill, apparently. Well, of course, we saw that in the bed, right? Dang, Frank is fit.
Yeah.
Not to harp on that too much, but I can't get Frank out of my mind.
He's been running through my mind all episode. You know what I mean?
He's always jogging around there. Woo. He says that he traded Joel and Tess a gun for some seeds.
Which gun?
A small one, right? Which might still be one of his favorites, but maybe it's the revolver that Joel carries. That'd be cool.
Maybe that would be cool. But he's got strawberries now, and he surprises Bill with a little patch of strawberries that he's been planting.
The strawberries taste like strawberries.
Did
you plant any snozzberries?
Snozzberries.
I love how intimate this moment is between the two of them, how they like kneel down and they pluck a couple berries and they kind of cheers them together and they taste them for the first time. And just the emotion that kind of overcomes them, because this is probably the first time in 6 years that they've had strawberries. Yeah,
we hear that like high-pitched laugh that Bill has.
Yeah. He giggles.
Yeah,
he giggles. Super he's giggles. So overcome
it's the
with
Nick
joy.
Offerman laugh. Yeah. I loved it when he let out that laugh. It's the strawberries, spoiler alert, is a front, at least on the short list for one of my fireflies.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like the strawberry moment a lot.
What really cinches it is they have that kind of heart to heart where Bill apologizes to Frank for getting older quicker than he,
yeah,
than Frank is. And he tells Frank that he was never afraid before he showed up. Yep. And that's very sweet. And I love that line. And then they start to kiss and they start to lean back. And Frank's like, wait, we're not going to do it all the strawberry.
We just planted these
and
things.
And they start laughing. I'm like, yeah, that's beautiful. That's such a cute thing.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. You know, times are tough. We just got through COVID. Right? Everybody's been stuck in their homes for years. We're readdressing life itself. We don't know what's going on. We know that we need to get to the gym. I know I do. I know I need to eat healthy. I got to take vitamins. I got to take minerals. I got to go get a physical every 6 months or so. Sometimes I do it every 2 or 3 years just to see what'll happen. But I know that I need to do it. But it's easy to sweep mental health under the rug. It's the only illness that tells you that you don't have it. And it's really difficult to start looking into. You know, you got to drive. Where do you find a therapist? Is there a therapist store? I don't know of one, but there is an app called BetterHelp that'll help link you with a therapist to suit all of your needs. You can shop through hundreds, nay, thousands of different therapists and find one that helps you get through the day, that helps you address the problems that you're having. And if at any time you feel like they're not, you can easily switch therapists or stop at any time. Mental health has never been easier to access than it is with BetterHelp. Our own host, Steve, has been using it ever since we started being sponsored by BetterHelp, and he says that it has helped him immensely. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/streamingthings. And it cuts to nighttime. It's Frank's. Frank's the only one on camera. He wakes up to the sound of raiders getting caught in the traps. Right. So you hear the kind of the alarms, the gunshots, all that stuff.
So do you have like little buzzsaws pop up and create sparks?
So I thought
to ignite the flamethrowers.
I think that's what happened, to ignite the gas. Yeah,
oh, that makes. I thought that they weren't working at first. I thought that it like the trap went off and then for like they showed that gauge and then it just. I was like, oh shit, it's fucked up. They're about to get.
Yeah.
Down in, and then that dude just caught on fire.
I did not expect flamethrower traps. Honestly, I did not. But really cool and brutal. But yeah, I think he has like table saws set up to create sparks to ignite the gas that I guess always comes out of these pipes.
Later, he's like, leave the gas on.
Yeah.
I keep burning them. but yeah, so in the middle of that, Frank's going around. Bill's trained him, obviously. He knows where a gun is. He cocks it, loads it, goes outside looking for Bill. Bill, for some reason, as trained as he is, it's just standing in the middle of the fucking street.
John Wayne and
taking pops.
I love the way this scene is kind of constructed because, you know, Frank's kind of freaking like, Bill, where are you? And then Jimmy, while we're watching it, Jimmy's like, I bet he's down in the street shooting. Yeah,
this motherfucker's out there with a rifle, just got one.
Which is, you know, it's what you do in the game, but yeah, you got to get cover.
For sure.
And when he sees Frank, he kind of crumbles. He's scared for Frank, he never was for himself. He's like, right.
Get back inside.
You got to get out of here. Right. And I think there's that moment where it's like, would he have gotten shot if Frank hadn't come out and distracted him? Who knows?
Who
but
knows?
Bill does get shot, and immediately he just keeps saying, call Joel. He gets taken inside to their table, and he expects to die. And in his dying moments, all he cares about is that somebody come and take care of Frank, because he doesn't think Frank's going to be okay by himself. You need to call Joel.
He'll take care of you.
Yeah. Cut to 10 years later, the current timeline. And it's old Frank and Bill.
They're old as fuck.
Frank's in a wheelchair now. I don't know what was going on at first. I thought it was like the next day and Bill was in a wheelchair for a second, but no, it's Frank. Frank is a painter. So he's painting all these paintings. They're littered around everywhere. It's what they've been doing for the last 10 years.
Did you infer, cause he's painting that portrait of, I think, Bill. And then they kind of linger on that shot. Did you guys get the impression that like he was getting worse as a painter? Like it was because the left side of the painting was pretty, the lines were straight, but then
I didn't notice that.
The paint was like more squiggly and kind of.
That's absolutely what they intended. That's why he wants to die. Cause it's like, I can't even do
this. Yeah. I was trying to figure out, they didn't really talk about what's wrong with him. I'm sure you'll get to that in a second, but, I didn't know if it was like cancer, if it was Parkinson's or something.
I'm assuming cancer, but just because he said, we didn't have a cure for this before the world fell apart, but it could be any number of diseases. We don't have a cure for
MS.
Yeah.
That would make sense because he was in the wheelchair.
Yeah. The cancer doesn't account for the legs not working. And I think one of his hands was immobile, or at least.
Yeah. Cause
not
he was
great.
Reaching over.
Cause he's like drinking from a straw and all kinds of stuff at first.
Bill's cutting his steak up. Such
Bill's
a sweet guy.
Happy to take care of him though. Loves him to death, but he's declined rapidly. They end up going to bed. Bill has to carry him, lay him down in the bed.
When he forgot about the literal pills, baby.
Pills, baby.
One orangey, a little whitey, and a big roundy.
I've definitely heard those exact
I've
words.
I've taken
before.
All of those ones.
Yeah. Plugged them.
He does have some literal pills, baby. Then they lay in their bed and Bill wakes up to Frank sitting in the chair. He got there by himself and he smiles and says, took most of the night. I'm exhausted. Bill gets really upset with him. Like, get back in the bed. Your feet are going to get blue. If you fall asleep in the chair, he's like, I'm not going to fall asleep. I swear I'm going to stay awake because this is my last day. And that stops Bill in his tracks. And then it cuts to, I think it's them on the couch at this point, or him in his chair and Bill on the couch. And this is when he says, hey, they couldn't cure this. Before the world fell apart, like I've made my decision. I've thought about it. I want to die. And it's a lot of good lines here,
Yeah. I love the line where he's like, I've had a lot of bad days, but I've had a lot of good days with you more than anyone else. So just give me one more good day.
I'm not going to be corny. I've had bad days with you too.
Yeah.
Remember when I had to tell you to shower?
You cried at that part, didn't you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yes.
Was that one or two?
Buckets. That was the second time.
I think that's number one.
Ooh.
Oh, it's definitely number one. Actually, it might be three times I cried.
I cried so many times, I don't even remember.
It's three, but that's the first time. You're correct.
Frank wants Bill to make him toast. Then they're going to go to the boutique and get some great outfits.
That's where the tears really came, because that little like knowing chuckle on Nick Offerman's face of like, you do love fucking toast. My, my wife loves toast. I just cooked breakfast for dinner yesterday and I made her four slices of toast because I was making huevos rancheros. So I had tortillas for my eggs, but she wanted toast. So I had to, and I know she loves toast with butter. So I made her four slices.
Damn, you good husband.
That's a lot. I'm just saying like,
I made me toast.
I'm with someone who loves toast. So like, that was just like,
yeah, toast.
Then he wants toast. Then he wants to go to the boutique and get some outfits. Then they're going to get married. He's going to make him a great dinner. He's going to crush up some of them pills, baby, and put them in the wine.
How certain were you that we were going to see Frank in the Hawaiian shirt from the game in the next scene when he said, I'm going to go pick out whatever clothes I want? I thought, because like in the game, yeah, the fact that he's wearing that outlandish, like brightly colored, like palm tree button up shirt is a huge part of how they know that that's Frank's body.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was really surprised we didn't see that in this episode at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought it was in bad taste. Like Frank would never wear that. I don't know.
The Frank in this show would never be caught dead wearing something like, as awful as that.
Maybe. It really shocked me that they were in suits in the next scene.
And this is so heartbreaking because, you know, Bill starts crying, says he's not going to do it. He can't do it. And Frank says, you love me, right? Well, love me the way I want you to, which is a callback to when he wanted to take care of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, he busted out the L card.
I know. Dropped it.
Yeah.
Oof.
Can't get away from that.
Do you love me?
And right before the wedding, the camera lingered on the trap that was still open, the hole that he first found Frank in. Bill's hole, if you will.
He made their first meal, the same thing that he served him the first time.
The rabbit.
He made the rabbit.
Paired with the googity boogity stuff. juice. I think it's just grape juice.
Pretty sure that's what it said on the tag.
It was a ginger ale. Pairs ginger great ale. With a rabbit.
Ale 8.
I didn't say ale 8 because like 98 people know what that is.
Yeah.
It's a Kentucky soda. But they do get married. Their final meal is the rabbit. It's the first meal they had together. And he prepares the drugged wine. And Frank asks, do you think this will be enough? And Bill's like, yeah.
He said, oh, yeah.
For sure, my guy. And then Frank chugs the wine. And then Bill chugs his. And then Frank's like, you drugged the whole bottle, didn't you?
Enough to kill a horse.
Enough to kill a damn horse. And I've killed horses, I know.
So Frank got a double dose. He was really trying to kill Frank.
He's trying to take care of him.
Right. And, you know, he says, take me to bed. And they both pass out in the dining room. And they get to the bed.
Well, it was a sweet thing because he's like, I should be mad. I should be upset, but it's pretty romantic. And Bill says like, you know, I'm old, I'm satisfied and you are my purpose. And I think that's fucking beautiful. It's so adorable.
This is a huge departure from the game. Now that we can talk about spoilers in the game, Bill's alive.
Right.
Last we see him, he's alive. We find the dead body of Frank. Frank had been bitten by an infected. They were separated because they'd had an argument. Mm-hmm. And while they were separated, Frank got bit and he hung himself rather than turn into an infected. So that's the game version.
And then Joel, Ellie with Bill ends up stumbling upon the hanged body of Frank. And it's a really big, because up until that point in the game, you know, Bill kind of keeps making allusions like, you know, I used to have somebody and then I learned it was a bad thing. But you can tell he's still kind of messed up with that person missing. And so when you find the body, you realize, oh, Frank is who Bill was in love with. And like, it's very sad. And that's when Bill's like, cuts him down. He's like, you guys get out of here.
Yeah,
it's very sad.
So I think this does better justice to Bill's character because you never see him again.
Right.
So there's no need for him to be alive per se. And it's better for him that they stayed together with Frank. They died together happy. Whereas in the game, it's just like, that sucks. Have fun being alone, loser, you know?
Yeah, that's why I was saying I understand that's why they did this in the show. Obviously, they wanted to have a good end for Bill's character in the game. Like you said, he just, all right, I'm going this way.
But I was confused. Like watching the show, I was distracted thinking, Did he get the dose wrong? Is he going to wake up
and be
pissed and kind of sluggish? Because I put Kill Bill in a question mark,
Kill Bill,
which is a great movie, but not what I wanted to see happen in the show. But again, I do think it was a good choice for the character.
So there's a part when after Joel and Ellie get there, that one of the doors shuts. Did you guys see that?
Yes. You thought it was Bill.
Yeah. I was curious, like, what was that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the wind, but
I guess it was the wind.
Yeah.
Cause he goes Ellie but and then she's just sitting in the dining room.
Yeah. They made a huge, like the camera focused in on mm-hmm. it. So
it was interesting.
Maybe he's not dead.
Well, that was, Joel was about to enter the bedroom and that the doors would cause him to not actually enter the bedroom. So maybe it was just kind of like some sort of,
oh yeah. He was trying to open up the door and then the door shut. So it took his attention off. And he's like, fuck that door. I don't got a shank.
Can't get in there. I don't have a shiv.
You need a shiv to get into the door.
I always keep two on me. Damn it. I broke the rules.
Yeah.
Then Joel and Ellie arrive is the next thing that we see. And it's what we're talking about now. Joel knows the code to the gate. So it tells you that he goes there all the time. He sees that the flowers outside are dead. That's not a good sign. The door's unlocked. Now
the grass is not as green.
Joel is alarmed. That's not like Bill at all. And the last meal that they ate is still sitting there. The food's all moldy. Ellie kind of plays the piano a little bit. Joel says, stay here.
I love how she doesn't know how to react to his house at first. She's like, what the fuck? This is so nice.
Yeah.
This is how people live.
She's never seen an actual like house look like a house. Yeah. She's never been in the woods.
Yeah.
She didn't know what a hat was. It's wild. What the fuck? Joel tells her to stay there. And then, he sees the door slamming. So comes back Ellie and she's sitting there holding a note that Bill left. To whomever, but probably Joel, and a key.
I thought I could have qualified under the whomever.
Yeah, that's why I went ahead and read it. I'm whomever. And I like that Joel's reaction. This is so great. He goes, so they're dead. You know what I mean? Like he's like a straight to the point, so like dead. No frills. Everybody dies around me eventually kind of person. You want to take this part, Steve? I've been talking 90% of this episode.
You can keep going. Like, I
feel bad.
Ellie starts reading the note and I love the way it starts off where she's like, this is for Joel, something along the lines of like, I knew this is probably you, Joel, because everyone else would have fallen victim to my traps. Because Ellie doesn't know what is. So she's visibly confused by that, which is, a cute little moment of levity. But the note kind of continues like, I was happy when everyone died. There was one person worth saving, and that's what I did. That's why men like you and me are here, Joel. We have a job to do. Take all my stuff, use it to, and then Ellie stops. And Joel takes the letter
from her. Use them to keep, yeah.
Yeah, Joel takes a letter from her and goes to read it. And you kind of see on the page, it says, use it to keep Tess safe, which obviously he has not done.
She's already dead.
Yeah.
But on his face, I love that this... You can see Joel reacting to what Bill has written in a way that like he is starting to he's starting to get his purpose in life back looking at Ellie, right?
Yeah, like, at that moment, I think he made his decision like, okay.
Yeah. Like this is what I think. And the test thing was a wrench in what was forming to be like a resolve to look out for Ellie. And he's already been getting an affinity for her. Right. And like he's becoming his surrogate daughter. And
yeah, this is kind of how he finds his new purpose.
Yes.
Now, is through Bill's purpose.
And Bill's like, look, we're the same. We're really good at killing people. We got a certain set of skills.
It's super paranoid.
It's me, you, Liam Neeson, us three. we have to a purpose.
Haven't seen Liam in years. Don't know what he's up to.
I assume he's still doing C action flicks, even in the apocalypse. He's making his own DVDs.
Would they have even known who Liam Neeson was in 2003?
It's after the prequels, buddy. It's Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's true. Yeah, he is Qui-Gon Jinn. Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
That's Qui-Gon Jinn. That's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And he says, stay here. He goes out to the garage. He finds the truck, the S10 Chevy. It's a smaller truck than in the game. Wasn't the game like a dually?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was the same.
No, truck. It was a crew cab for sure. Because she sat in the back in the game at first when she's got the magazine stuff.
The game truck is pretty massive.
Yeah, it's really a bigger truck for sure. It's not an S10. It's definitely a four-wheel drive. Joel ain't driving no goddamn S10. I don't know. Anyway.
But yeah, Bill has his truck, a battery, lots of supplies.
Was there like bomb stuff in the fridge or was that how to, I don't understand
there's,
what that was.
All the equipment to put the battery together.
Oh, to make a battery?
Yeah.
That's what he said. I made a battery, but I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
I thought he just lied to her and said, there's a battery in there. How do you make a battery?
With the sulfur bottle and then the top and then the things.
See, this is why I'd be dead for sure. I would have opened the fridge and ate that shit. I'd have been like, why is it in the fridge?
Oh, is this soup?
It's like oatmeal.
This is weird licorice. Yeah, I had no idea what that was. I thought it was like a game. I thought it was a bulletin pill for like the bombs that he makes and stuff.
I think there is a bulletin pill in there, but I'll save that.
Okay. Okay, Dan. So he goes back in. Let me find my notes here. To whomever, probably Joel already did that. It's very sad. It finds the bomb stuff, question mark. He goes in and asks her to show him her arm because he's made a decision. The other bites are healed as well. He says, hey, I got a brother, talking about Tommy in Wyoming. He used to be a firefly. I was looking for him anyway. He can maybe tell us where that lab or whatever the fuck is, right?
He's still planning on dropping Ellie off with some of the fireflies.
But again, when they... Each point that he gets to where he's supposed to be rid of Ellie, something goes wrong. And so he's already made his decision to continue this journey. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to talk about Tess. She asks about Tess. He's like, look, ground rules. Don't ask about Tess. In fact, we're not going to talk about our past lives
at all.
Yeah. No personal shit. Also, you don't tell anybody about your condition. They'll just shoot you in the face. They're not going to ask any questions.
Yep.
And then Chains of Love starts playing. I've never heard that song. I'm not familiar with that, but I took note of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you should know, Steve.
I'm glad you took note of it, my man.
Are you a Chains of Love fan?
Who isn't?
Apparently me. I do like Cream.
I like Miss
Cream. In the white room. They go to the bunker downstairs.
This Bill guy was a genius.
Yeah. Way more stuff than in the game. In the game, it was like a dirty bench and one shotgun or something. And
like a diner or something.
Yeah, and like a workbench that you could use to upgrade your guns.
But no, he's still got his prepper basement and full swing down
there. In what world does Joel not fill his entire fucking S10 with all of these guns? What is going on?
Right. Grab that one.
You don't want to carry that. You only carry what you can carry on your person. Because who knows?
I can fill the truck up with guns.
If they take a stop and he walks off to look at something, somebody could walk up there, grab a gun from the back of the bed. Now they got a gun against him.
Well, you don't put him in the back of the bed.
He's not given.
You put him in the cab. Under the seat. Those seats lean forward.
If they can get into the bed of the truck, I bet they can get into the cab.
No, we did miss something.
Lock your truck, Steve.
Ellie does have a gun now.
We did miss that.
She did find a gun.
She's so happy.
It was Frank's gun.
Mm-hmm. It was this little gun he kept in the drawer.
Pew, pew, pew.
That's all she needs.
Yeah. This is where we also find out that Bill kind of ran the PA system for the song code.
Yes.
And it was where
if
he doesn't activate it each week, it automatically plays the danger song, which is kind of scary. It's crazy because the first episode, the end of the first episode, that's when the song started playing. So Bill and Frank have been dead since the very first episode of the show. And that, like, right around that time was when they died. And so they've been going towards this location the entire time.
He's been dead the whole time.
Which is kind of, whoa.
That's when Duran Duran played.
Was it Duran?
Girls on film.
Yeah.
Pesh mode.
I think the danger song should be, I'm on my way.
The final danger countdown.
Zone. I don't know.
Should be the final countdown.
The final countdown.
Oh, yeah. Let's play some Europe, baby.
He makes sure to get Ellie some deodorant.
Yeah, he gives Ellie some deodorant. Some
stinky ass.
Then they get into the truck, and this is the first time.
She both takes showers, and she tells Joel, you definitely need a shower as well.
You stank.
Go ahead, Steve.
But they get into the car. This is Ellie's first time in a vehicle, a truck. So she's just having a great time playing with the mirrors.
It's like a spaceship.
She finds, as they start pulling out, she gets into the glove compartment and finds a cassette tape. And she puts it in the player. And it's the Linda Ronstadt song, Love, Long, Long Time. And Joel, at first, Joel's like, leave it alone. Don't play that. Oh, wait a minute. This song's fire.
This is Linda.
This is Linda.
Linda Ronstadt.
You guys heard about Linda? And she's like, it's all right.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But there's a cool moment. It's tiny little details like this that I love where he's like, put your seatbelt on. And then she doesn't know what a fucking seatbelt is. She looks at him and
she's like, huh?
This is a seatbelt. And he clicks it. She's like, awesome.
Fedra learning.
Yeah, damn Fedra school. And then the camera, the episode ends with the open window where Bill and Frank lie, because Bill in his note said, we left the window open in the bedroom so it won't stink as bad, but don't go in there. I'm sure it's a sight. And so it the camera kind of backs into that room, and through the open window, you can see the truck drive. It's a great shot.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But as the song plays.
And on the wall, you can see a portrait of Bill, probably almost certainly painted by Frank. But it'd be funny if Bill just did that before Frank got there. I love Bill.
Finger paints.
Yeah. It's just a crayon drawing. It says Bill. I think
it was that portrait that he was painting earlier when...
the one that's kind of goofy on the one side.
Yeah, it's the same one. Yeah.
Well, at least he got to finish it. I guess art's never really finished. You just stop at some point, right? Yeah. So it's time for our top three favorite fireflies. Let's do it. Number three down to one. Steve, start us off.
Well, I love fancy edits and fancy transitions.
You do?
No, I really love the where it kind of pushes in on the fabric that you see in the mass grave, and then it cuts to those living people wearing those outfits, and it pulls back, and you kind of see the unfortunate victims that will be in the mass grave being rounded up by the government, and then we are introduced to Bill. I thought that was such a really creative way to go from the present day of the show to the flashback,
yes,
and introduce Bill. Like, it was so seamless, and they did so much. They used their film real estate really well.
Yeah,
and I gotta throw that out as one of my favorite moments.
Absolutely,
fireflies, baby.
Jimmy, what's your number three favorite moment?
Number three would be our crush little friend, the stalker. The interaction between Ellie and the I'm just going to call him a clicker because we're not really sure. Maybe a half clicker, stalker, whatever.
Infected.
There you go. I really like that because it's fleshing out more of that interesting line that Ellie's crossing, you know, the curiosity, right? She's cutting into him, and we also get to see up close, really, and not just real quick snippets of what they actually look like, what's underneath their skin, and it develops Ellie's character a little bit more that, you don't really get that in the game. So I like that a lot.
It's my number three as well, is what I call the tampon zombie, which is not a sentence I'd ever thought
I've
to
met
say.
One of them.
I want that to be on my LinkedIn profile.
I'm a tampon zombie. another meaning. I wish I hadn't said that twice. But yeah, I think it's so important to Ellie's character because, again, it's that first one that is tough. And she asked Joel in the first episode, hey, did you ever think about the people that they were? So she's had a curiosity about this. This was a hurdle she would need to cross to be able to survive on her own in this world. And she just dives right in like, I need to do this. Right. So it's really well done.
Notice cool. He didn't even try to because one of his hands was free, so he didn't even try to move.
That's what I said earlier. I think I made the joke, he's just sad.
Yeah,
like,
he's like, dang.
Oh, I was being so sneaky. Dang.
Yeah, nope. He didn't even try. I am.
I'm too. Hi.
I fully expected him to be like, wow. what I mean?
Just some kind of jump scare or something.
And then Joel come in and pew.
I think it was
maybe it's because he wasn't connected to the fungal growth, so he was all by himself.
I think he's just sad, man.
He's just sad. Yeah, he's all by himself.
That's embarrassing.
In that secret tunnel.
No, he is connected to the fungal growth, and all of his friends are laughing at him.
Yeah.
He's still under them. He's still under them rocks.
Oh, man, everyone's Steve.
Everyone's in the city having a great moss orgy, and I'm here in the secret tunnel all by myself.
That's where he was trying to go. He was trying to get there real quick and got crushed.
He's trying to get them tampons. He's a tampon zombie. Got crushed. Steve, what's your number two?
My number two is the meeting of Bill and Frank. It's just a really, really enjoyable scene of the, from Frank being stuck in the hole, I'm not armed. Just their whole disposition and back and forth is really funny and heartwarming. And you immediately like Frank. Like, you can really see, very quickly that he's a very likable dude. And you can understand.
The Arby's line is where I was like, okay.
Yeah. And he's a likable dude, but he's also a great foil for
a free
Bill.
Lunch at Arby's.
It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant.
Man. Capitalism, baby.
Frank would have never ate at Arby's if we're being.
Yeah, he did not enjoy a 4 for $4.
For sure.
Did Arby's do the 4 for $4?
Yes, at one time. No, that was Wendy's.
Or was that Wendy's?
They had 5 for $5.
Yeah, they had the 5 for $5.
When we were kids, what a fucking beef and cheddar costs? $5 by itself now.
Yeah.
is. You got five of those for $5.
Fire. Yeah, and I would too. Yeah, well, I'd get a couple curly fries because I'm not a peasant.
Arby's sauce,
indeed.
Damn, I want Arby's.
Yeah. Turnover.
This show is brought to you by.
They Arby's. Have the beef. We have the meat.
What do you think Arby's paid for to get their name drop in this episode?
What, like five beef and cheddars, it'd probably.
It would be really funny if, like,
that's a lot.
What are some funnier restaurants Bill could have said in that moment? Like,
what is this, Red Robin? And then Bill goes, yum.
Yum. Yum. This isn't a Panda Express.
So, my number two was the Raider attack. This is the first time we see villains other than the infected. Obviously, Raiders play a huge role in the game. And I was really excited just to see Bill's town in action, right?
Yeah, that's the traps are a big part of the game.
Yeah, I was expecting this whole game or whole show that to be the forefront of it. And it's almost better now that we saw just a little bit of it and just to see Bill going, you know, ham like
John
Bill.
Wayne.
Yeah, John Wayne and out there with his single bolt action rifle. You know what I mean? You think all those weapons. But that moment was really cool just to see all the work that he'd put in. And when he's laying there on the counter and he's asking to call Joel, he's like, don't worry, the fans will kill the rest of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my number two.
Well, the one thing that we really didn't get at all is the fact that, like, in the game, Bill actually corrals the infected as part of his defenses.
Yep.
And like traps them in there for other people. And those are some of the ones you have to kill entering Bill's town in the game. They didn't do that at all in the show. But
yeah, in the game, Joel's like, don't step there.
Yeah,
like he just knows.
My number two is the letter that Ellie is reading and eventually gives to Joel from Bill. Again, mostly Joel's reaction and looking at Ellie and realizing like that what Bill is speaking is the truth about who they are as people in his existence. And
oh yeah, that's a good one. That's a good pick.
That's why I've been so empty and that is what I need. And it helps his resolve to carry on with the journey with Ellie. It was my last crying moment in this episode.
I knew it.
It was number three. So we skipped over number two, which is my number one Firefly. So we'll talk about it in a second. Steve, what is your number one favorite moment of this episode?
My number one favorite moment is the strawberries.
Oh, awesome.
Aww. Yeah. It was just, you know, it was very fun to see. And I love, guys, I don't know if you know this about me, but I love love. I love love.
I like love.
I love it. I love it. And so just.
I love that for you.
Thank you. I mean, just the, you know, you get some of that Bill and Frank comedy where he's like, I sold one of your guns for some seeds. He's like, which gun? Like,
it was a small one.
He's, you know, in any, like any relationship that I think works is like, usually there's one member of the relationship that's kind of pulling the other one along in a way. Mm-hmm. At least that's been my experience. Like someone who's a little bit more like, no, we gotta sit here and do things. And then the other person's like, no, live life, come live life with me. And it's a fun push and pull. And the moment when he says like, you know, I wasn't scared until I met you is just, oh, that really hit me deep in the feels. And you know, And then it ends perfectly with like, you know, they start to be intimate. He's like, wait a minute, we're not in the strawberries.
Yeah, not in the strawberry.
You know, I feel like we've all been there as adults. Who
definitely been in the been strawberries. Intimate.
Yeah. It might not be strawberries. It may be a pizza that you guys ordered in bed that was too specific.
You're making out on your pizza boxes, Steve? Yeah, yeah, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's why I loved it.
I always want to do that. Like, I want to give in to passion, like the movies, and like sling all the plates off the table.
Off the table,
but
yeah.
I'm too, whatever is wrong with me. I'm stacking them, you know, yeah. Let's just go over here.
Yeah.
Like, hold on real quick. Let me just put them in the sink real quick.
Just stand up. And so, you know, just dump, put your hands around the plates.
You guys do it while standing?
Sometimes.
That's crazy.
How does that even work?
It doesn't take me long. We can do it anyway.
You only got to lift them up and for a couple of seconds.
I'm the opposite of Bill.
That's a 30 Rock joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never watched that. Steve. Or maybe,
I'm Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Jimmy.
I'm Jimmy.
What's your number one?
My number one was Bill's note on a couple different levels. One being it's such a huge part of the games, right? The notes that you find, they develop, you know, the sub plots within the game, right? So I really like that. And then, you know, basically what you said, it sets Joe off. Like he makes a decision. He goes outside. He reads over again, and I thought he was crying at first, and I was like, there's no way they're going to make Joel cry. Not yet. I thought he was just in the yard bawling, and then they Which he's probably pretty close. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I thought he left to not show Ellie his emotion.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I took that scene.
But what Bill was saying in the letter, this is a really, really awesome moment to kind of just catapult Joel into the thinking like, okay, if it's about protecting somebody, I got to protect Ellie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it all the way. So.
At least Wyoming.
Yeah, at least to my brother. I'm going to pawn her off on him.
Yeah. My number one favorite moment was the gunshot, the scene where Bill was shot laying on the kitchen table and Frank's very calmly taking care of his wound. And he's just panicking and not thinking about his own death or his own safety at all. All he's thinking about is how to set Frank up to be okay without him there.
Right.
In his last moment. That's love, right? When you can not think about yourself on the precipice of death, then you know that that's love. Because I think that my definition of love is some measure of selflessness, right? Mm-hmm. Because evolutionarily, we're just wired to think about ourselves and our own survival. And so the only thing that can overcome that hardwiring is love. And I just thought that was a stunning scene. So yeah, that's it there. Let's talk about.
I got some sad breaking news, actually.
Okay.
Annie Wershing, she was the actress who played Tess in the video game, passed away today due to cancer.
Oh, aww. Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Man, that's a bummer. Yeah, she was also in 24, Bosch, Timeless. I think she was the Borg Queen in Star Trek. So yeah, what a weird, wild that happened as Last of Us is kind of playing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Weird.
Okay. Our bullets and pills. I don't
pills, baby.
I didn't know if you're,
I didn't want to pills, baby.
I said bullets and pills. One of mine was the note that from Bill. Yeah. Cause like Jimmy said, a lot of the game is reading those notes that you found. So that's a great one, but Steve, kick us off. We'll go around the room until we all run out.
Okay, well, the first one I wrote down was the keychain on Ellie's backpack is the panda that you often see in her backpack in the game.
Very cool. Very cool.
I think it's a red panda.
Is it a panda? I thought it was an alien. I could have.
Oh, you know, maybe it was an alien in the game, but it was like a red panda looking thing on the backpack.
But yeah, it's definitely something hanging from her backpack. It's either a panda or an alien.
Alien panda.
Let us know, folks.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
I like that Joel called it Outbreak Day. He verbally said, you know, September 26th, Outbreak Day. So I thought, not that that's in the game, but it's very huge in the Last of Us community and Naughty Dog and stuff. So mm-hmm. I really like that.
Chris?
I'm going to double dip if I can.
Oh, you double dipping?
Well, not only did I mentioned the note that Bill had, but right. He told him the code to... the bunker, like specifically that in the game, that's how you get codes to unlock doors by reading the notes. And if you don't read the notes,
I'm pretty sure one of them also says that it's the same as this.
It does, backwards. But that's in the second game, which is wild. But
is it really?
Well, I think so. I played them both back to back, so I get them confused. But anyway, so there's that. But also the gas mask that Bill's wearing, I think is a, you want some gas masks, guys? You know, because in the games, you wear them frequently.
We got to put this in the trailer so if everyone thinks it's spores.
Yeah. Steve?
Well, there's a scene when Joel and Ellie go into that gas station or whatever it is, and there is an arcade cabinet specifically for Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. This is in reference to a very almost identical conversation that they have in the game when they get to Bill's town. Ellie finds an arcade cabinet for a game called Angel Knives.
Yeah,
it's not Mortal Kombat. It's a game called Angel Knives. And she mentions, I don't know, did she say it in the show that she had a friend that used to play it all the time?
Yeah.
Well, we actually see that as well.
Well, she says she has a friend that was an expert, and then she starts to talk about Melina. Melina.
Well, safe to say we'll probably get to, know who that friend is. That's going to be coming.
Jimmy.
I put the toolbox or the stash in the games. You get upgrades by finding toolboxes. So I thought that was pretty cool. So when they're in that store with the Mortal Kombat, he gets all of his little stuff out of was a green toolbox. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see what I got. The generator that Bill has. Now, it's just a thing that you need if you're going to have electricity without society. But I think it was specifically an allusion to all the generators that you have to start up in the game.
That one specific generator that you all those stalkers are attacking you in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst part of the game.
It's a huge, God, it's so scary. I called Jimmy, it was like midnight, and I didn't want to do it. He didn't answer. I didn't want to do it alone. Yeah. Sometimes we'll play separate games, but in a PlayStation party. So
you can talk
like,
to each other?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like,
because we're scared.
Hey, man, what are you doing, man? You know? Hey. But eventually I got
played
through it.
Play a spooky game. Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm 34, so that's normal. I'll grow up one day. Steve.
The mandatory evacuation sign that you see in Bill's Town is exactly how those mandatory evacuation signs appear in the game form of Bill's Town.
Nice. What was the date on it? Was it the 30th? I think.
Oh, I didn't see the actual date.
Yeah, I think it was the 30th. So 26th is when Outbreak Day started. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there was a time frame on there, and I think it was the 30th. So 4 days later.
September 30th, it would have been.
Yeah, September 30th.
August 29th is when Bill died. That's 2 days after my birthday.
Ooh,
3 days.
Three
after
days
yours.
After mine.
Oh, so you killed him.
Putting two and two together.
Yeah,
I put the gun bench we see down in Frank's or Bill's lair,
bunker.
His little lair. And it's a real quick shot. You see a gun sitting on it, and it's all taken apart. And I fully expected Joel to just go over there and start putting it together. And I was yeah. like, "Yeah, that would have been pretty
cool." He's upgrading.
Cool. Yeah,
more capacity in this gun.
Yeah. Changing everything on the gun with a little screwdriver.
Done.
Yeah.
Just wipe it off and now it shoots faster.
Right.
I think leaving the AR counts. I'm going to call that because in the game, you don't get that particular rifle until like the last 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think that they had a choice to make with like, if the kind of the soldier would have something like this, Bill or Joel would take it as part of his character, and we'll have to have a reason for him to not have it because it's so not part of the game that Joel just runs around with an AR, right?
Right.
So anyway, that's I put that in there. It's a wide swing, but I did it. Damn it.
You did it.
Steve.
The rules that Joel lays out, that exchange with him and Ellie, are almost word for word exactly how it plays out in the game. It's almost, if it's not exactly the same, it's incredibly close. Even Ellie's replies to him are pretty identical.
Awesome. And Jimmy.
The clothes that they change into after they shower, the green flannel and the red shirt, even the logo on her shirt is exactly the clothes that they are wearing. It would be going into the fall, not the fall section or the summer section of the game, which I thought was really cool. And Pedro Pascal looks so much like Joel. I think we were talking about it throughout the game.
Like the scene where he was given the rules.
Yeah.
Like Steve was just talking about, like there was a moment where I almost got choked up because like if you close your eyes, it just sounds like you're listening to the game. It's wild.
It's insane. I thought that was cool.
I'm going to say the seatbelt. I think asking Ellie to put the seatbelt on is a really important scene in the game. I don't know if that'll come back or whatever. Probably not. So I thought it was nice that they had that little thing there, right? Where it was nice for her character too, because it's further showing that there's so much things about the real world, simple things that she doesn't know about. So they kind of double whammy, double dip there, as you do. Dippin' dots.
Dippin' dots.
Delicious. Steve?
Yummy. There's a scene when Ellie finds Frank's gun. She's literally like going through all the different drawers until she finally gets to it. And if you play The Last of Us game, a lot of your time is spent going through drawers.
Empty drawers, too.
About half of them have nothing. Makes me so mad.
You even bend down and open a drawer, and it's like, damn it. Why'd I waste that energy?
I think I'm done after yours, Jimmy.
The last thing I had was the shot of the window at the end of the episode from Bill and Frank's room.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done this a couple times in the show. It alludes to the start menu of the game where
alludes to the start menu of the game. It's also the final shot in a couple different situations that I can't really get into in the game.
I think that's really cool that they keep doing that, paying homage to the game.
Yeah.
So I really like that. We could just be like connecting dots that, you know what I mean? that yeah. really aren't there.
That's what bullets and pills are for, bullets baby. And pills,
baby.
It even could be, I put checking for the car battery when he opens the truck. That's a huge part of the game. And when he gets there, he's dismayed that there isn't one in there. And so
I thought it was cool that he had to put it together too.
Yeah.
Truck was on there, but we discussed that it's a different truck, but I thought for sure it was the same truck, but you know, agree to disagree. But the fact that he opens the fridge, and the whole point of going through Bill's town is in the game is to do little chores for him or gather some things so that you can get a car back. Yep. And I thought that was really cool.
Not there yet, baby.
Not
right
there.
Now it's time for our final segment.
Oh yeah. Just skip me. Yeah, skip all my bullets. Hey. No big deal.
All whatever. Our pills.
You're right. It's time for our final segment. Steve, what's your last pill, buddy?
I have several pills.
Oh.
I'll just blaze through them. When she says, like, man, this truck's like a spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big allusion to something that happens in the second game.
I actually did have that written down.
When he opens the
he didn't.
When he opens the garage...
spaceship.
When he opens the fridge and seals all the battery components, there is a cup that has sulf written on it for, I assume, sulfuric acid.
Mm.
In the game, sulfuric acid is used to hide Ellie's bite mark from people. It happens off screen, but
it's in the second game where she talks about that or something.
Yeah. Yeah. She talks. Right. She's talking about it to one of the other characters because they think she's been burnt.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, actually I was bit and I burned myself to hide the bite mark.
Right.
Nice.
And then, there's also, I have to do this every time cause this is my role on since Stranger Things. I got to tell you what songs played. There's I'm Coming Home to Stay by Fleetwood Mac, White Room by Cream, Long, Long Time by Linda Ronstadt and Chains of Love by Erasure.
Erasure. Chains of love. That's how it goes. I'm tied to you with chains of love. I made that.
You got it,
buddy. Anywhoozle. Now it's time for our final segment, the outbreak performance of the episode. Is there any chance that either of you have something different than me for the outbreak performance?
I don't think so. I mean,
I'm looking at Steve like he might have went wild on us here.
I'm
looking at Steve's notes. It says Frank's pectorals. That's not how this works.
The left one, particularly.
Those things deserve every award.
They made me break out. I know that.
Can you imagine if he could do the flex them all at one in time?
And you know like, he bum, can.
Bum, yeah. bum, 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 with, oh my God.
You don't get.
He would have free room like and board at my apartment anytime he wants, all right?
Chris is doing it right now.
I'm trying. I think it's working.
I think your camera's so blown out we can't see the definition on your wire.
Everything about me is blown out. What's your outbreak performance, Steve?
It's Nick Offerman.
Mm. Yeah! Jimmy?
Yep.
Okay.
Originally, I did put Murray Bartlett just because I was so taken in by how charming he was.
Frank's great.
But the more I thought about it as we were going through the breakdown, I just thought like, man, Nick Offerman is doing such a wonderfully subdued and layered performance.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's incredible. You have to give it to him.
Yep. A trifecta, a ubiquitous Streamy Award given to you, Nick Offerman. I know you listen. You deserve it.
Big fan. I whittled together a pair of headphones that I listened to the show on with my whittling knife.
I can't figure out the Discord, but just tell all those other folks in there I said hi.
Tell them all to leave me alone.
How do you turn off these notifications? That's a good Nick Offerman there, Steve. Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode anywhere near as much as we did. I have a feeling that I see the Discord blowing up already with people like, oh my God, I'm crying so much. So it looks like everybody's loving the episode.
Hold on. What was the first time you cried in the show? We know 2 and 3.
No, the first was... when he talks about the suicide plan on the couch, the second was the gunshot and the third was the letter.
I gotcha.
Tears, baby.
Tears, baby.
Should that be a new segment? Like when did I cry?
Where did Chris cry?
Let's try to guess.
We could guess when Chris cries segment. I like that game.
It's a fun game.
It's really easy to win just every watch night him. Before I sleep.
Just watch it. The best is still when we were doing Hot D and there's that moment when Viserys walks into the throne room and I looked at you because it was such a great scene.
I was ugly crying.
Ugly crying. I love you, man.
Steve got uncomfortable. He left.
It's like, ooh.
Call me when you're done. He texts me, call me when you're done.
Dry it up.
Yeah, I'm a big crier, but thank you. And that was a moment of my life.
Yeah, that was.
Thank you all for listening so much. Again, don't forget to email streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Follow us everywhere. Mailbag is coming up. It's important that we get your email.
Mailbag. Baby.
We just do it with baby and with everything. But until next time, that's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
I'm Jimmy.
And this was Streaming Things, Last of Us. Pew, 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 pew.
I don't know about that one.
Happy streaming. This month, we got some new patrons to thank. We are so thankful, so grateful to all of you who throw your hard-earned monies our way. Money, money, monies. We got the new Try Before You Deny producers, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez and Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. That is actually their Christian name.
I can't imagine the. Does that fit in a library card?
Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car. Yes, because in a Barbie Car is put as a last name. So
okay, what's the middle initial? I thought N was the middle initial.
No, you're right.
I thought it was like Rabbit Dog N.
I don't think in that part of the world wherein Rabbit Dog hails, there is a middle name.
Mountain Time.
Yeah, yes, for sure. In the Marty B VIP producers category, we've added Node KS, Charlie Friday. That's not real. It might be. That's awesome. You were named after a secret agent, and I love it. Heather Joe, Sheila Huff. I'm so sorry in advance. I'm going to try my best. Niame McDyer and Micah Tybee. Micah Tybee. Micah Tybee?
I was reading that one before. And
Ethan Gregory.
I got that one.
Casey McNatt, Nicole Herring, and Daisy JT. And in the chocolate pudding producers, we've added Meddler on the Roof. Love it. Lane Crawford, Christiana Saya, Blaze King, Ellie Montiranta, Randy F, Carrie Gerard, Tyler Sowers, Cadet, Alyssa Anderson, Sabra Watkins, Jade Spade Marmalade, and Naris Martinez. And in the Friends Don't Lie producers, we've added Mike and Sheila. And I, again, apologize to anyone whose name I did not pronounce correctly. I did my best. My heart was in it.
I feel like you
Mike's going to be like, it's McKay.
It could be. Thank you all so much. We love you.
Bing.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.